The Joe Mason Show is on, in 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1, 1.
Welcome to the Phil Nason Show. I'm happy to have you here. We'll be here for the entire hour. Mainly, we'll talk Major League Baseball. The Milwaukee Brewers will be represented by Mr. Brewtown. We'll talk New York Mets with Mark Berman. But up first, San Antonio Spurs, defending champions. And we're here to talk all about those defending champions. And doing so with me from PoundingTheRock.com. Please welcome J.R. Wilco to the show. J.R., how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great. It never gets old hearing them called the defending champions. It can't get old. It's like maybe a month old. Anyway, I'm still getting used to it. How about that?
Oh, I guess so. You should be. You should be very happy, too. They're talking about the Spurs revitalizing the game of basketball. Team ball. Gotta love that, right?
Man, it was fantastic. You know, Dennis Lindsay, the general manager of the Utah Jazz, who used to be assistant general manager for the Spurs, was recently quoted as saying something about how the Spurs winning in the way that they beat the Heat with all of that passing was the best thing to happen to the league in the last 10 years, which I thought was, man, I mean, I reached out to Amar, who I know that you do shows with all the time. I reached out to Amar, and we're having a conversation on the side about it right now, just to get his take on it, see if he thought it was an overstatement. But, you know, is 10 years ago when the Lakers lost to the Detroit Pistons with a superstarless team. And so that's like in the last 10 years, that's probably probably pretty good touch point of the last kind of what felt like a seismic shift in the way that basketball was being played, or at least the way it was looked at. Unfortunately, that was the last superstarless team to win.
Yep, it was. You know what? I enjoy watching that team ball. I hate watching that ISO crap all the time. It's not a lot of fun. That superstar-driven offense doesn't seem to work. Well, it didn't work this year anyway. That's for sure. And the San Antonio Spurs are the defending champions for a reason. They play great team ball, like I said, several times. I compare them to the 1973 Knicks, one step below, of course, because those guys were my heroes. And that's fair enough, right?
Yeah, I would be surprised to hear you say that they were on the same par or beyond. I don't know what they could have done. The only thing they could have done is go back in time and play in Knicks colors for the 7-year-old Phil Nations, I think, probably. But it was so exciting to watch them play the way they did, and I literally never get tired of talking about it.
Well, what you would need to do is have Walt Frazier on your team. And you would have got me.
That'll do it.
He was my favorite, man. Him and Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Good old Clyde and Earl. That's fantastic.
Willis Reed, too. But Willis Reed was old then. And Dave DeBuscher. Good teams.
Good stuff. I love the team work. I love the teamwork aspect of it. I love the team nature of the team, and the fact that they brought everybody back. You know, they got Bonner now, so it's not just the re-signing of Boris and Patty, but it's Bonner now too. So Aaron Baines is the only sheep outside the fold at this time. And the longer that it goes by, the more it seems like he's gonna pull a Gary Neal and grab some cash. But I mean, you can't fault him. Can't fault him at all. It's not like he's going to get a whole lot of playing time with the Spurs next year, and a chance of being able to step into a bigger role for him while picking up some cash. Who can fault him?
Nobody can fault that. But when you talk about picking up some cash, Patty Mills didn't pick up some cash. That's the steal of the free agent draft or free agent signing period. Signing Patty Mills for what you got him for, because he could have gotten a lot more somewhere else, irregardless of the injury. I think that's a steal, man, because that guy can shoot. He plays defense. More importantly, he's like a little spark plug. Kind of reminds me of a smaller version of Vinnie Johnson, the microwave.
Oh man. Oh, Vinnie Johnson, that's high praise for sure. But wow, that's a really good analogy because of how much Patty meant to last year's team. He could jump in there at any moment. It seemed like he was always hot. He was definitely hot throughout the playoffs, scorching hot throughout the finals. And he was just going completely all out for all the time that he was in the game. So coming in there and spelling Tony and not letting the other team rest at all, he changed the way that the opposing team had to inbounds the ball because he was constantly in their mix stealing. He had so many steals off of inbounds. Off of inbounding after a Spurs score, that the teams had to bring extra guys back in order to be able to bring the ball in quickly because he just had a nose for the ball like that. He played great Spurs ball. He would give it up and he could create his own shot off the dribble and do so without seeing his three goal his 3-point field goal percentage drop, and that's an elite skill. So yeah, he's perfect backup point guard for the Spurs, and to have no backup point guard for the Spurs for so long, and then to have one last year, and then have one locked up for the next 3 years, that's a luxury, man.
Even if he doesn't repeat the feat that he did last year, and that was Herculean, by the way, you still got to steal because $4 million, when you look around the league and look at the money that some of these guys got, look at Gordon Hayward, $16 million a year. What in the world? So you got a great steal. He's fantastic, though. But when you talk about his defense, his peskiness, stealing the ball, he was doing things out there in the finals that the Miami Heat are infamous for over the last couple seasons, just causing all kinds of trouble and stealing balls and getting out on the break and doing their thing. I was thrilled with the guy and for him too.
Yeah, I mean it's a great story because he's such a good teammate. That the fact that he was the first off the bench waving the towel, famous for waving the towel more than actually playing in games before last season, and just such a all around good guy, to see him make good last season was fantastic because he was already a good story. He was already just that, just a Spur through and through and a great teammate before, and for him to actually be worth something. I mean, generally you're used to those guys on the ends of the bench being, human interest stories, and everybody cheering for him because they got in the game. And oh, look, Patty made a three! Isn't that great? Well, he wasn't excited about making threes anymore this last year. He was helping the team succeed and playing a huge role in the playoffs and the finals, which up to before last year would have been unheard of. I mean, if you'd have told anybody that Patty Mills would be helping to clinch in the third quarter, that he would essentially be playing the Gary Neal role while doing an excellent job of playing point guard and not giving up points on the other end, it would have been a tough sale for your average Spurs fan, I think.
Just him making the team, in a way, was kind of a great story in and of itself. He reinvented himself. Congratulations. But you know what? Davis Bertans. Young, this is something. This is something right here. I was thinking about this earlier today. If he pans out even halfway decently or even half as good as Kawhi Leonard, if you're the Indiana Pacers, you'll be crying yourself to sleep for the next 15 years because
They're going to
that
be
was a steal of a trade.
yeah, they're going to be crying themselves asleep regardless. George Hill's a fine ball player, but it just looks more and more like Kawhi Leonard's going to be a star, potentially a superstar. And if David Bertans turns out to be a even a good solid rotation bench guy, then it just gets that much worse because this guy looks to be quite lively. He's coming back pretty well from his ACL surgery, and he's going to be playing ball in the Euro League, which will allow fans to get a good look at him. And he's in the ACB, which is the best league in Spain. And without a doubt, you've got an opportunity to really excel with him because of his athletic ability. And these guys sometimes they pan out, sometimes they don't. There's no way to tell when they're over there in Europe. But you know, with the Spurs, their track record with these guys is crazy. And to see Bertans go to Baskonia, where Thiago Splitter played, where Fabricio Oberto played, where Raúl Calderón. I mean, this is a team that is not a stranger to taking NBA level talent, and watching it develop before it goes to the league. And the best part about it is that his contract has an NBA out at the end of every one of the 3 years. There won't be any messy buyout that the Spurs are going to have to deal with, like they had to wait on Thiago Splitter for a year or two before he came over. So it's just great, great news all around on that contract.
Sure is, and plus he's on a credible club that probably will pay him at the end of the season too. That's the big thing. Some
Yeah,
of
he's
these
going to get
clubs out there don't pay them. I mean, they're
his.
bankrupt. I mean, I've watched it in living color here over the last 12 years. We've had soccer teams here, JR, who basically bankrupt, aren't able to pay their players, aren't able to even pay the hotel. I mean, when they stay on the road, it's a difficult row to hoe when you're playing in Europe. But Baskonia is a good basketball team. This kid's pretty good, though, I think. I'm not so sure he's NBA good, but he's coming off an injury. I remember watching him play for Lithuania in the under-18s, and he was pretty decent then. He has a nice motor. He's not a bad ball player. We'll have to wait and see, though, of course, because those injuries can be very difficult to come back from, I think.
Yeah, and you can look very bad for quite a while and still be getting, your body back together. Those surgeries are pretty invasive, and it's not just with the snap of a fingers. I mean, you can see just the way that Derrick Rose had a problem. But you make a great point about actually being able to get paid, because it's not the size of your contract. It's whether you're in Europe. Sometimes it's whether the team actually is being able to stay financially viable enough to actually cut you paychecks. And the last two teams for Bertans have kind of gone under, like to the point where they were, I mean, Partizan Belgrade, his last team was not going to be a part of the EuroLeague next year. Probably just barely getting by. And so to get on with Baskonia the way he did is just I mean, it really speaks to the way that people see him coming along, which is just, more optimism for a team right now that seems to be swimming in it.
Well, that's true. And then you know what? When you lose a couple of those fellas in the next season or so, you're going to need somebody to fill in the gap. Maybe he's the one. But if you ever watch those Euro games, look at the empty seats disguised as fans. They're everywhere. It's horrific to watch. You go to a Panathinaikos game, for example. Okay, maybe that's a bad one because they play more of their games in the evening. But a lot of these guys play on Saturday afternoons at 2 o'clock, and nobody goes to these games, and that's why these teams go under. And this team, though, Baskonia, because they'll probably qualify for EuroLeague, will if they haven't already, of course, they'll be playing prime time ball. They'll be able to survive. And I think that's important. But getting paid is very important. And this kid's had some bad luck along the way. But if, like I said before, if he pans out, he's going to be some kind of special player. The Pacers are going to be just pissed. They're going to think, what did we do? We gave up Kawhi Leonard and this kid for George Hill. George Hill. Oh, Lord
George.
Almighty. Anyway, today, great stuff. Thank you so much for being on the show with me, JR.
Hey, thanks for having me. I always enjoy it.
All right, that was JR Wilco. You can find him over at poundingtherock.com. Coming up next, Mr. Brewtown and I will talk about the slumping, homerless Milwaukee Brewers. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return.
And it's the reason Al Gore invented the internet.
After these brief messages.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
Riveting talk radio.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
no.
I think it probably comes from porn as well. You
yeah.
know what I mean, that's got to
sure.
be a big, strong big, thing. Strong
oh, that's thing. Gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Talk radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
If you like baseball, you should be checking out Baseball Podcasts. .net. It's one of the best places you can go on the internet to listen to independent baseball talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our radio player that can be heard around the world. So won't you tune in and give us a listen at baseballpodcast.net. You can also listen to the great Phil Nason show here. See you there at baseballpodcast.net.
Brewtown Sports is your source for Brewers news and notes. Join Mr. Brewtown as he keeps you up to date on all the happenings of your Milwaukee Brewers and Major League Baseball. Follow the show on Facebook and Twitter, Brewtown Sports. Listen 24/7 at brewtownsports.podomatic.com.
Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine, as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And now.
What a dope. What a maroon.
Back to the Phil Nason Show.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. As we've said several times, and we said it yesterday, the National League Central is the best division, or I should say the closest anyway, in all of baseball. The Milwaukee Brewers are now tied for first with St. Louis. Pittsburgh is a game and a half out. Cincinnati is 2.5 games out. And joining me to talk about the Milwaukee Brewers from BrewtownRadio.weebly.com, please welcome Mr. Brewtown to the show. Mr. Brewtown, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be on your show, Phil. I'm doing okay. You know, Brewers haven't been performing well here in the month of July, so we're doing okay.
I think that you would. Now, you have a question for me from one of your listeners?
Yes,
let's start with that.
One of my fine listeners from the greatest city in the world, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, wrote to me and said, hey, ask that Phil Nason's guy, what player from the past would you pick first for your all-time fantasy team?
Oof. Wow, I wish I'd had some time to think about that. I suppose, now I don't have any stats in front of me, but I suppose more than likely I might have selected, I would go with someone like Ernie Banks. Let me see. Maybe Willie Mays. I probably would look at him. I don't have their numbers in front of me. I don't have anything in front of me. Perhaps a Ricky Henderson. I might have taken him because he was one of those guys who did it all. Pitching-wise, I guess I would have taken Sandy Koufax. I would probably have taken who else really would have done well in fantasy? Oh, boy, there's a lot of them, actually. Perhaps I would have taken someone like a former Brewer, Don Sutton, because Don Sutton used to strike some guys out. I might have taken a Tug McGraw as a closer because he pitched a lot of innings. You know, he pitched over 200 innings one year. So those are the guys off the top of my head I would pick. I'll give it some thought, though, and I'll respond next week. How's that?
There you go.
Yeah.
It sounds good.
Yeah. I it's hard to pick them off the top of your head. I like Ernie Banks, though. I think Ernie Banks would have been a good one.
Yep. Henry Aaron would have been a great one. You know, yep. RBI guy. You know, 3,700 hits. Could steal bases. Babe Ruth. You always got to throw the big Bambino in there. Ty Cobb, you know, would have been a good pick. I like the pick of Don Sutton. You know, this guy pitched a long time, and I kind of like that pick. I would have put Don Sutton up to Warren Spahn.
Perhaps even Nolan Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Randy Johnson.
Sure. You know who else? Roger Clemens.
Yeah, let's not forget about Roger Clemens. Bob Gibson.
Gibson would have been great. Let me see who else I would have. Joe DiMaggio, the Yankee Clipper. I would have picked him. Mickey Mantle. There's so many.
Yep. Bob Feller.
Bob Feller. You know who would have been great for one season? Denny McClain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, for two seasons, because, you know, the one year he won 30 games, the year before that, I think he won 27. So, I mean, this guy was just mowing him down. And Cy Young would have been a great one to have on your fantasy team.
Cy Young would have. And we could have gone even further back than that when guys were pitching every other day. Yeah. Can you imagine having a Clayton Kershaw pitching every other day?
Oh, that would be fun.
With 14 strikeouts, you would get that would be perfect. That would be a beautiful fantasy baseball team. No question about that. I'll tell you what, man. The Milwaukee Brewers, I predicted them to be fourth, and that was not a put-down either because this division is so stacked. And also, if you remember, I thought it would be no less than five games that would separate the four. And I think I'm going to head in there being right. But you've got these guys that are just struggling in July. Jonathan LaCroix, Chris Davis, Segura, Mark Reynolds are struggling. Ryan Braun, though, is the only one who's really hitting. He's batting 350 thus far in the month of July. How do you explain all that?
You know, it's one of those things that happens to every team. You know, you had Jonathan LaCroix and some other guys, he got off to a great start, and the pitching staff was pitching so well. And now you're kind of in that slump. You know, the Cardinals started off, you know, they were in a slump, and then now they're getting better, and the Brewers started off great. Now they're not doing so well. And, you know, all comes in cycles. Jonathan LaCroix is a big talent. He's going to turn around. I'm not too sure about Gene Segura, you know, with the death of the child. And he has to deal with that now, and he's back on the Brewers. I don't know if this guy could really turn it around. I think he's, you know, just going to continue to struggle. Mark Reynolds, we expect Mark Reynolds not to grab a lot of hits. You know, he's a home run guy. So it's just one of those things that happens to every team. You go through this little thing. Ryan Braun, who wasn't putting up big numbers, is now putting up huge numbers. So that's a good sign for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes, it sure is. 39 home runs in the month of June. Thus far, now this was as of Sunday, 9 home runs, or maybe it was 10 now. Maybe this was, I sent this to you on Saturday night. Because we prepare our guests for this show, but That's a big thing there. That's a big difference. 39-9. That's why the Brewers were winning. They were pounding the crap out of everything, right?
Oh, absolutely. And when you look at the run scored for the Milwaukee Brewers so far this season, they only one team in the National League has more runs scored, and that's the last place Colorado Rockies. Now, you expect the Colorado Rockies to score a run. The Brewers have scored 434 runs. The problem is they've given up 421. So, I mean, that's only 13 difference. And you're going to see that change. You know, they're going to be giving up some runs now. The pitching staff is starting to show they're a little tired. Some of the guys are pitching to their talent level, whereas, you know, the first part of the season, you had a couple of guys that were over pitching what their talent would have had them pitching. So, but the Brewers are still in it. I mean, this division, and you and I have talked about this many times, this is four really good baseball teams just going at each other. When you look at the playoff percentage, the percentage of chance that a team is going to go to the playoffs, the St. Louis Cardinals right now are 62.6. But Milwaukee's at 47.8, Pittsburgh's at 41.6, and Cincinnati's at 42.8. That's four teams all over 40% chance that they're going to go to the playoffs. No other division in baseball has that. All the other divisions, you have your top two teams. Everybody else has pretty much got no chance of going to the playoffs. So I love it, and I think the Brewers are still in this thing. I think it's going to go right down to the last week.
You know, I agree with you. I still think it's going to wind up one of those 4-5 game splits between the four teams, because it almost has to, because they're going to be killing each other from the middle of August all the way till the end of September. You brought up the pitching. In July, they have so far 14 quality starts, 3 wins and 1 save. Now, this is a phenomenal thing, by the way. In June, Mr. Brewtown, 28 quality starts, 18 wins, 10 saves. Pitching over their head? Oh, yeah. That's why they were killing everybody. They were hitting bombs and getting great pitching.
Oh, and I agree 100%. And we were so happy with you know, what was going on in April, May, June with the pitching staff. And they've hit the wall now. I mean, Kyle Loesch is right now, I think he's the only starter that you can kind of rely on every time he goes out to give you something. He's at least going to give you something. And Matt Garza seemed to be getting there. And then his last outing, I mean, he barely got out of the first inning. He looked like he just didn't even want to be in that game. Yovani Gardo now, he's going into the tough part of the schedule for him, because we play the Cardinals a lot. We play the Reds. Yovani Gardo struggles against the St. Louis Cardinals, and he struggles against the Cincinnati Reds. So, you know, Yovani Gardo isn't going to get much better. Over the last 30 days, Yovani Gardo's ERA is 5.22. Now, the bullpen, too, you know, K-Rod is slipping a little bit. The guy who really was putting this all together in the bullpen, Will Smith, over the last 30 games, his ERA has ballooned to 10.24, and they need to get that guy back on track. A couple of guys that are doing well is Zach Duke is coming out of the bullpen. He's got no ERA at all in the last 30 days, but it really has been a struggle here in the month of July for the Brewers pitching staff.
It certainly has. That's a big drop-off. 14 quality starts versus 28. That's a qual. They played 28 games in June. They got a quality start every single night.
Yeah, it was amazing, you know, because every night you could not tune in the game to the seventh inning and you'd stab your starting pitcher out there. I mean, for the Milwaukee Brewers, that was huge. Whether they won the game or not, you were just happy that they got that seven and a half, eight innings out of their starting pitching staff. And now I don't know if they're just tired or it's just that time of the season. You know, every team goes through where they just can't put it together. And then something happens and everybody gets right back into it. And I think it's going to happen right now. You know, Washington's a good team. We lost 2 out of 3 to the Washington Nationals. And that is a really good baseball team. We'll see how they do against the Reds here for the next couple of nights.
Yeah, that's right. They're playing right now in game one. We previewed the game or the series with Brandon Crailing. It's all going to come down to who gets the big hit in that series. Because, I mean, neither team is actually lighting up the scoreboard, and neither team is getting a lot of great pitching, even though they have great – Cincinnati has a great staff, a great starting staff, a much more heralded staff than the Brewers. But the Brewers staff just pitched over their heads in June. And now it's starting to show. And Efrod, I could go on and on about Efrod. You know, I was happy for him that he seemed to turn it around, but this is the Efrod that I know.
Yeah, you know, and it's been amazing because he's pitched well since he's been here with the Milwaukee Brewers, and I think this is like his third time now with the Brewers over the last couple of years. And it's just like everybody seems to have a past dislike for K-Rod. You know, but he's another guy too. I mean, he can fall apart overnight. You know, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And he just seems right now that it may happen. And the Brewers don't really have anybody else. I mean, they just don't have anybody else. They brought up Jeremy Jeffries, a former first round draft pick a couple of years ago, who's had some problems. They brought him up. He's pitched well over the last month down in Nashville, but we just don't have a lot of options right now on our pitching staff.
No, you certainly don't. But a listener has some options for you. A listener wanted to know if the Brewers should go after Cliff Lee or Cole Hamels at the trade deadline. You think they need to make a move, Mr. Brewtown? I think it's time to make a move for a starter, someone who can give them 7-8 innings, who's dependable over their entire career, like a Cliff Lee, like a Cole Hamels. What do you think about that?
You know, I think every team that's still in the hunt is looking at making a move, and the Brewers are unique, and they really never give you any kind of clue that they're going to do it. That they tell, well, we kind of like the way the club looks right now, and you know, which I guess every general manager does. If I was a general, I'd be making moves. I'd at least be calling and say, what is it going to cost us to get Cliff Lee? You know, what do you want from us? You know, as long as they're not asking for too much, you know, something that's going to hurt us next year and the year after that, I would say, yeah. I mean, go after these guys because both are veterans. Both, they know how to pitch. I think both would pitch very well here at Miller Park. But we'll see. You know, the Brewers, they surprise us every year either by not making any moves or making moves for C.C. Sabathia or, you know, going after a Zach Greinke and Sean Markham. So you just never know. But it's all going to come down to whether or not the Brewers can afford it. And if either team is willing to take Ricky Weeks and take the remainder of that contract, I think the Brewers can make the move for either one of those pitchers.
That's possible. You know, they could also make a move over in Oakland. Oakland has an abundance of starters. And, they have five of the top 32. They need a second baseman. If it were me, I'd be flipping one of those starters, perhaps a Hamill or even a Samardzija, reflip them and go after Ricky Weeks. If they do that, they're going to be all right because neither of those two guys have performed well since the trade for the Oakland Athletics. Is there any, you know, who else is out there? Is Bartolo Colon. He's out there. He'll give you seven innings every night. He'll give you one rough inning, of course.
Yeah.
But he'll give you seven innings every night. Now, he might be another option.
Oh, absolutely. And there's a lot of options out there for the Brewers. But the Brewers, you know, they just don't have a lot of room to play with. They you know, the Brewers are the small market team of Major League Baseball, and they just don't have a lot of money to play around with. And they spend their money to get the Ryan Braun's and the rest of these guys to stay there. So every year we go through this is the Brewers just don't have a lot of room to play with. And it all comes down to you're not necessarily trading players, you're trading contracts. That's how it works today with the big money that's involved in Major League Baseball. So we'll hold our breath. And every day, you know, you see little rumors going around and you get these knuckleheads on Facebook and Twitter who get me all excited, you know, because they're putting together what they think should happen. And you kind of look at it and go, OK, that's false. I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, I hope so. I really do. We need somebody to come in and kind of rejuice this team.
I think so. And you know what? I fall into the same trap. I see something that's interesting. I click it and it's some freaking blogger who won't even say whose name, what their name is. You know what I mean? And it's just goofier than a heck. You're Mr. Brewtown, but everybody actually knows who you are. So,
yeah.
So it's all good. Anyway, great stuff today, Mr. Brewtown. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, I love being on the program, and I really love the questions that your listeners send to you. You got a smart group of listeners there.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right. You can find Mr. Brewtown at BrewtownRadio.weebly.com. Coming up next, Mark Berman and I will talk New York Mets baseball, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return.
Next thing you know, they'll be on motorcycles wearing them leather jackets and zooming around. They'll take over the whole town of Reign of Terror.
After these brief messages.
Riveting talk radio.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think, and it probably comes from porn as well. You know what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby. That was great.
If you like baseball, you should be checking out baseballpodcasts.net. It's one of the best places you can go on the internet to listen to independent baseball talk shows. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our radio player that can be heard around the world. So won't you tune in and give us a listen at baseballpodcast.net. You can also listen to the great Phil Nason show here. See you there at baseballpodcast.net.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason show.
Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aurigi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine, as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aurigi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aurigihotel.com or email them at reservations@aurigihotel.com.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m., and it ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And now, back to the Phil Nason Show.
Shut up! Shut up!
Yes! Shut up!
Shut up! You're telling me to shut up?
Please, just shut up. I am so sick of hearing you talking all the time. Don't you ever just shut up?
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. The New York Mets were one of the hottest teams in baseball entering the All-Star break, and now they're one of the coldest. And joining me to talk all about that and more, please welcome from bloggingmets.com, Mark Berman is in the house. Mark, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. I wish the Mets were good, but they're not.
Well, they do this every year.
Yeah.
Or I should say every year the last five. Mm-hmm. Start out really, you know, they play competitive baseball. They fight. They're close. They go into the All-Star break on a run. And then as soon as they head out west, they lay an egg. And that's just what they did. And that's a pity because Friday night's baseball game was fantastic, the way they came back and won that ball game. But you have to win two out of three against the Padres. In fact, you have to sweep the Padres.
Yeah, especially going into Seattle and Milwaukee after this, which they'll be lucky to win one game in each place. You got to win two or at least three against the Padres to have, you know, a 4-5 or 5-4 road trip, which is what you want. Any kind of West Coast trip, you want to be at or around 500, and that's a success if you're an average team like the Mets. But now they've won one. They're lucky they'll be lucky if they end up 3-6 on this road trip. And that's after, you know, going 8-2 in the last 10 games. It's really disappointing.
Yeah, that's awful. You know, and Sandy Alderson said we have to wait and see whether we'll be buyers or sellers. Well, we don't have to wait any longer because they're going to be sellers. They have to be. And I think one of the pieces they're going to have to sell off is Bartolo Colon.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with that. I didn't want to sign him at all in the offseason. I thought it was a terrible signing. He's not going to be needed. If it was a one-year contract, I'd have no problem. He's not going to be needed next year. And if they can turn around and get something for him, that'd be great. Unfortunately, he's kind of in one of his little cold spells, and he's not pitching well. So that's going to hurt his value. And plus, he signed for $11 million next year. So the Mets won't get, I don't think they're going to get any kind of top prospect for him, or especially they won't get any immediate help, which is what they really need.
Well, they need a lot of help, but you know what? His cold streak is like one bad inning here and there. That inning that he gave up four runs, they didn't even hit the ball hard off him, though. That's the whole thing, and that's a pity. I like Bartolo Colon. I think he's going to be all right. I think you're not going to get a top prospect for him anyway, even if he was 14-0. But you'll get something for him, and that's better than nothing. It's better than what they got for Jose Reyes.
Right. I think the key now is to get his $11 million off the books for next year so they can sign a hitter. I mean, that's $11 million. If they can get rid of it, they have Chris Young's $7 million coming off. That's $18 million coming off. They can sign. They have to sign a big-time power hitter for that, preferably a left fielder.
They're not going to do that. Who's going to come to New York and play with those guys?
And play in that stadium if you're a power hitter.
No, you don't want to do that. And people talking about Carlos Gonzalez. Carlos Gonzalez doesn't want to come to Citi Field. He likes playing in Colorado.
Yeah, I was actually looking at him today. The main problem with him is he just can't seem to stay healthy. He's on the disabled list every year. So that's not going to stop, I don't think, as he gets older. So I would like to see Carlos Gonzalez, but I just fear that he'll suffer injury after injury, like Cliff Floyd or something like that.
Yeah, you know what? His injuries, though, are little things like fingers. That's what he's had issues with. Like Granderson, he's just had a bad string of luck. But I think he'd be great for the Mets, but he wouldn't put up those kind of numbers because he couldn't put up those kind of numbers.
Right.
You know, those are Colorado Rocky numbers. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way, but it's wrong when it comes down to the New York Mets. Now, let's get away from this weekend debacle.
Okay.
Ugh. Now, I saw I don't usually read a lot of these blogs, but I was trolling on Facebook for Saturday, and I saw this thing from Mets Merized. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's a featured post, and they let us know that in the title, too, and that's very nice of them, by the way.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. I mean, after all, wonder what a non-featured post looks like over there. I don't really know, but either way, it is what it is.
I want to tell you.
Yeah. Wright says it's time for Mets to start adding pieces. Okay. You know, and he laments some things. He says that Sandy Alderson and Jeff Wilpon made him promises, and unfortunately they haven't happened. And he did speak out, but it's interesting that he spoke out right after Sandy Alderson did, which adds to the growing consensus that David Wright is nothing more than a mouthpiece and a shill for the front office. What do you think about it? But that, without all that shill stuff, I mean, that's just obvious that he's doing that. He's part of the team. That's what he does. He's the captain. He's supposed to echo their statements. What do you think about them adding pieces to this puzzle? Is he right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think he spoke, you know, before the Padres series. You know, it was after, you know, after the All-Star break, they were 8-2, they're five games back. And I wrote the same thing. I wrote, if not now, when? Like, they're not in prime pouncing position, but they're still in a position where they can make some noise throughout the rest of the season. So if you're not going to go out now and get and add some pieces, when are you going to do it? I mean, when are they going to stop trading players for prospects and start trading four players who are going to help them? So I think Wright's kind of saying the same thing. If you're not going to do it now, when are you going to do it? Let's go for it. I mean, that always has to be a point where you go for it. The A's are doing that this year, you know, making that the Samardzija and whatever the other guy's name, the other pitcher they got.
Scott Ham.
They decide to go for it. and good for them. And that the Mets have to do that at some point, and they haven't done it yet. And why not? Why not now? So I agree with Wright 100%.
Well, I agree with him too. The New York Mets are the big market team with a small market budget, yeah. And that's unfortunate for fans, and it's unfortunate for baseball. New York City has to put out not one but two great teams. They just have to. I mean, it's the media hub. It's the center of baseball at one time anyway, 1962. It was the center of baseball, really, and before that. But honestly speaking, what are you going to do? You know, you mentioned things like I mentioned trading Noah Syndergaard, and people go, oh, he's crazy. The thing is that a lot of Mets fans want to see Giancarlo Stanton, but they want to give up Buddy Carlisle. I mean, you can't do that. That's not how the game is played. If you want to make this team better and better instantly, and I'm not so sure that this will even do that, but you're going to have to part with a Noah Syndergaard or someone of that nature in order to do that. You're not going to get a lot for John Neese. He's got a pitcher-friendly or team-friendly contract, but this isn't the kind of guy you're going to get or be able to give up in order to get what you really need, and that's a monster bat. And the only way you're going to get that is by the trade. You're going to have to give up that some of those minor leaguers. I'm not talking about Rafael Montero either. Montero's not a top prospect. Noah Syndergaard is a top prospect. You have to part ways with someone, or you part ways with the guy who is hamstringing the Mets salary cap structure over at third base. You're paying a guy 25% of your total salary for one guy. That's not how small market teams manage their teams, is it?
Shouldn't be. Here's the thing, trading Syndergaard. I agree with you. If the Mets want a difference maker, if they want a Troy Tulowitzki, not to say he's available, if Tulowitzki or Carlos Gonzalez or Giancarlo Stanton, yes, they're going to have to give up Syndergaard. And maybe I would do it, maybe I wouldn't. It would depend on the actual trade. But yeah, they're not. If they trade Jonathan Neese, I think they can get someone good for him, but they're not going to get a difference maker. They're going to get another quality piece. But right now, the Mets can use a quality piece. They don't have many of them, but to get a difference maker, they're going to have to give up Syndergaard. And I don't want to give up Syndergaard. I mean, unless it's a sure thing, unless it's Stanton or Mike Trout or someone like that. Which again, I'm not saying that, I'm not proposing that, because that certainly is not going to happen. But no, I want to see what Syndergaard can do. And I've said before, I think he should be in the majors now. I don't care what he's doing in the minors. I would put him up in the majors right now and see what he can do.
I think I would take my chances and trade him before I have to find out that he's not what everyone thought he is.
But who would you trade him for?
I would trade him. I would probably go for a Troy Tulowitzki type.
I see, that I would do, because Tulowitzki is just a monster and he's a sure thing.
But you're not going to. But you know, I'm sorry. You know what? But you're not going to get him for just a Noah Syndergaard.
No,
you're going to have to give up a Dylan G and maybe a Jonathan Neese too.
Yeah, I mean, he's a top five player in baseball. You're not going to get him for one prospect.
No, you're right. But you're able to at least swing that deal somehow, because you're going to have to. Maybe even a Lucas Duda might get thrown in on the deal, only because Lucas Duda is a power hitter and he would thrive in Colorado. I mean, that's the kind of deal you're going to have to make. But here's the flip side to this. Troy Tulowitzki is an injury-prone shortstop. He's having a pretty injury-free year thus far. But, yeah, I would gamble on that with a Syndergaard. I guess I would go for, if I were looking for another bat, I would go for a Ryan Braun type for Syndergaard. You would be able to get maybe a Jonathan Lucroy. Somebody like that, you'd have to part with a Travis d'Arnaud, but first of all, the Brewers aren't going to give up either of those.
Yeah, they're not making any trades. They're going for the playoffs.
But you understand where I'm going with that. That's the type of player you're going to have to get if you want to turn the baseball team around, but you're going to have to give up Noah Syndergaard to get it.
What do you think about Matt Kemp?
I think he's injury prone, and I think he's a spoiled brat. He's whining and pouting. He's a great player.
I like him. I mean, he's having a down year. I think if the Mets could get him, and probably not for Syndergaard, but if they could, whoever, I don't even know what the Dodgers need, but if the Mets could get him and the Dodgers paid part of his salary, I would take a chance on Kemp, because if he turns it around, you have, a superstar outfielder. So, and he apparently is not happy in LA. He's, you know, he wants to be a starter, which he should be. And right now he's really not.
Well, you know what? He's also unhappy that he's not playing center field. And he's going to have to, what do you do with Juan Lagares? You give up Juan Lagares. That's another part. That's another thing that the Mets could probably explore is packaging Juan Lagares in something to get a bigger bat. I mean, he's a great defensive player, but he's kind of limited at the plate.
I mean, he's doing well hitting, much better than everybody thought. I would think if the Mets could somehow get Kemp, with the explanation beforehand, listen, you're not playing center. We got this kid in center. He's better than everybody. And if Kemp went for it, if he was fine with it, then fine. But if he, you know, hemmed and hawed, then forget it. But I have a feeling if Kemp could come to New York, knowing he's going to be a starter in left field, you know, he's not going to be a fourth outfielder, I think he would come.
I don't think he has a choice. I don't think he has a no-trade clause. So I think he would have no choice. But again, what are the Dodgers going to want?
Yeah.
And they're going to want a lot. Even though the guy's sitting on the pine because they're pissed at him, doesn't mean they don't know he can't play. It just means they have a better outfield.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a pretty good thing to have these days. Is four, basically, they got four all-stars out there, dude.
Yeah.
That's a lot. What do you do with a guy like Curtis Granderson now? This is, you know, there's this thing, you know, buy low, sell high.
Mm.
You might be able to fetch something for Curtis Granderson now. He's starting to turn it around a bit, or a lot, I should say. He's one of the hottest hitters in baseball coming into the break. You might be able to dump some of that salary, too. I don't think he's going to be good in that third year.
I'm not worried about the third year. It's the fourth year. I don't think the Mets want to trade him. I don't think he's very tradable, only because if any other team really wanted him, they would have made a play for him as a free agent. So why give up players for someone that you could have signed if you really wanted him? I don't even think he's in play.
I don't know. You know what? Maybe they just figured he was just hurt, want to wait and see. And now they know that he can play a little bit. He's not ever going to be the same again. Maybe he could be if he was out of Citi Field. You never know, really. But I would explore that possibility, too, because we want to see the team get better. And this team is not going to get better unless it parts with something. It has to part with something. You're not going to lure a big-time free agent to Citi Field, and you're not going to lure a big-time agent to play for the Mets at all, really. They don't want to do that. If they did, they would have already come. I mean, David Wright doesn't have any pull at all with these guys anymore. I don't think he ever did. He's Opie Taylor. You know what? And the thing is, and he's not even, he's just a shell of his former self now. And he's got the bum rotator cuff that probably needs to be operated on at some point.
Yeah, he looked bad this weekend.
Yeah, he's just miserable. And you know what? They need to do something about that. Either put him on the shelf, get him healthy, or ship him out, I think, Mark. I don't see any other way. I mean, everybody wants these great power hitters, but you're not going to get them unless you give something to get it. You know, it's like leaving your home to go be with the girl. You know what? If you stay at home, you ain't going to be with the girl. It's that simple. And this is the same thing. Mark, great stuff today. Thanks for being on the show with me.
Thank you.
That was Mark Berman. You can find him over at bloggingmets.com, and that's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show. I want to thank all my guests for making this an amazing day of NBA and Major League Baseball talk. Until next time, y'all take care of yourselves. Be good, and most importantly,
ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.